Amen.
All right, shoot up.
Thank you, Pastor Dan and Pastor Fernando. And gentlemen, it's an honor to be with you here this morning. And if you would be so kind to take out your Bible, and we're going to be in the Old Testament today in the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles is located 14 books over from the book of Genesis. So if you have your Bible, if you could turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to be starting at verse 4. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 4. 2 Chronicles is right before Psalms and the book of Proverbs. And this morning we're going to be looking at the life of Hezekiah. And today we're going to be learning how we could take 4 steps to be mighty men of God. If you want to be a mighty man of God, I'm going to encourage you this morning to take these 4 steps that we see and will observe through the life of Hezekiah. 4 steps to be a mighty man of God. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for raising up this ministry that honors you. I thank you, Lord, that you have called us together to meet this morning, and it's for a purpose. The purpose is to be in your word, so your word could be in us, Lord. So we wouldn't only be hearers of your word, but we'll be doers of your word, Lord. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, as we walk out today, Lord, that we will be men after your own heart. We'll be mighty men that will bring you honor and glory. So, Lord, we are your servants. We have an ear to hear what the Spirit will speak to us. So speak to us in a mighty and a powerful way through this portion of Scripture. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. 4 steps to be a mighty man of God through the life of Hezekiah. So I want to share with you... I want to share with you just a quick background, what's taking place in Hezekiah's life. And this background, it's covered in the whole chapter, chapter 29. You could read the whole chapter when you have an opportunity. I'm just going to just touch bases on the story what's taking place in Hezekiah's life. So the background is this: in chapter 29, Hezekiah becomes king over Judea. And as he's king over Judah, he's succeeding his father Ahaz. Now, Ahaz, his father, unfortunately, was a person that was worshiping false gods. His father, unfortunately, was a person that was lacking integrity. And he was actually bartering with the Assyrian kings. And so that was Hezekiah's father. And so what happened ultimately with Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, he ultimately raided the temple that was supposed to be protected, the temple that was supposed to be a place where people will come to worship God Almighty. And so what happened with Ahaz's life, he just raided the temple. He thought the temple was supposed to be for him. He thought that people should be worshiping him. And he took from God. He didn't give to God and give to God's people. And so he compromised. He worshiped false idols. He compromised his integrity. He bartered with the Assyrian kings, ungodly kings. And the temple was raided. And he just kept things for himself. And he closed the temple doors. And He made altars to himself, and he was unfaithful to the Lord, and resulted in death and destruction and ultimately disgrace to God's people. Now, here comes along Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a man that was after God's own heart. And I just pray that we would be a Hezekiah, a man that will be after God's own heart, a heart that is open for God. And I pray that we wouldn't be Ahaz. A heart is just open for us. When we just want pleasure. When it's a trinity of me, myself, and I. But we would say, no, we want to represent God. We want to open the doors and say, come in and taste how good our Lord Jesus Christ is. So Hezekiah, he sought to bring the people of Judea back to worshiping God Almighty. And he wanted to restore them to obedience. So the first thing he did as king was he opened the doors wide and he repaired them. And he brought the priests and the Levites together and gave them these instructions starting at verse 4 of 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 4. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square, verse 5, and said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from this holy place. You see, we have Hezekiah. He exhorts the leaders first off to purify themselves. You see that in verse 4 and verse 5. To purify themselves and remove all ungodly things. He calls it rubbish. You see what was taking place in the temple. It was supposed to be a place to honor God Almighty. So it was a place that was just honoring man. And there was rubbish in there. So he calls the godly leaders to come out and he says, hey, before we do business, let's do business with our own heart. I love the last worship song that we sang earlier that spoke about holy fire. Burn away anything that's not of Him but is of us. And may that be a prayer of our life each and every single day. And that's the first step to be a mighty man of God. That we would remove of ungodly activity that's not of the Lord. So you want to be a mighty man of God, we have to intentionally remove anything that will cause us to be ungodly. I wonder, is there anything that's causing you to be ungodly? Is there any rubbish, as Hezekiah would say? I would encourage you, as your brother in the Lord, remove it. It's not worth it. It's a chain around your leg. See it for what it's worth and what it's doing. It's bondage. And Jesus came to set you free, not to put you in bondage. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and what? To destroy. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to take you out. And he does it through pet sins. And then we take the bait. It's like fishing. We get the bait, we take it in, we're like, yeah, no one knows. You know, I could serve God 3/4 away, but 1/4, hey, it's about me. No. When we call to follow Jesus, it's 100%, amen? We have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, 100%. So the first encouragement to give you here from 2 Chronicles is to take away any rubbish. Is there any rubbish in your life right now? Any rubbish in regards to things that you know, and the Holy Spirit right now is tapping on your shoulder and bringing up that rubbish. It's not worth it, brothers. It's not worth it. Get rid of it immediately. So the first step to be a godly man is to remove away the rubbish, ungodly activity. God wants clean hearts. God wants holy hearts. We have a sacred call, and we're called to represent the Lord. And so even here at this temple was supposed to be a place for people to come and to hear more about the Lord and learn about the Lord, learn about God Almighty. And did you know, you guys, in the New Testament, what is referred to as the temple? You guys, what is referred to as the temple in the New Testament? Us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, is there anything in our temple that's rubbish, that needs to be moved away? And the beautiful thing about God is this. Once you confess your sin, He is just and He is what? Faithful. All you got to do is confess it. And I love in the New Testament book of Acts, it says, once you confess that sin, times of refreshing will come again. Oh, like it rained yesterday. It just poured out. I pray God's Holy Spirit just pours out on you. Times are refreshing. But you know, when times of refreshing comes, it comes with a thing that needs to be done by men. It's confession. So may you confess that sin. And that's the first step to become a mighty man of God. Just to remove anything out of your temple that's not pleasing the Lord. So, next we see in verse 6 and 7, we see the next move to be a mighty man of God. Let me read that to you in verse 6 and 7. It says, "For our fathers have transgressed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. And they have forsaken Him and turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on Him. They have also shut up the doors of the vertical bowl, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel." So we see here Hezekiah, he's confessing the sins of the nation. He's confessing. He's just being real. He's just saying exactly what the sins were and what they were doing. And I like this, that he was very detailed in verses 6 and 7. He just lays out, this took place and that took place. And we did this. And we did this in the eyes of the Lord. You may want to underscore that with this, in the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord looks to and fro to show Himself strong, whose heart is open to the Lord. We can't hide nothing from God. You know, we could put our families to bed at night, and then we could go on the computer at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, and we could go, it's just me time now. I could do whatever I want to do. No. God loves you so much. He's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The eyes of the Lord is watching. Now, that shouldn't be something that would cause you to be afraid. It should be, oh no, it's like the cuckoo, somebody's watching me now. No, it's nothing like that without. God loves you so much because you are the apple of His eye. You are the delight of His heart. He loves you so much. And He doesn't want you to be involved in anything that's going to cause you not to be that godly man He wants you to be. So I see here is that they confess sin specifically. And that's the second step to be a godly man. Confess sin specifically. What is it? Is it pornography? Do we have these roaming eyes? You know, I like how it says that in Job, I made a covenant with my eyes unto the Lord. What it is? Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's laughing at jokes that we shouldn't be laughing at. Maybe there's a co-worker and he has the best jokes on the job site, and some of those jokes, you know, they're kind of shady, and may we stand up for righteousness' sake. That's what Hezekiah did. And it is not that we're better. It's that we want to be holy. We want to be holy. And we want to point other people to the Lord. God's looking for holy men. Is there a Hezekiah out there today? Is there a Hezekiah that you will say, this temple belongs to the Lord? Confess that sin. Confess it to the Lord, and He's just and faithful to forgive you. That's the second step to become a godly man. We confess sin. And right away, and we're quick to do it right away. We don't let it go for an hour or 2 days or a week. Right away, like, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I need You to be my Savior. Lord, do a work in me. Do a work through me. Lord, please don't give me over to me. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Don't give me over to me. But may I walk in the power of the Spirit so I won't gratify the desires of my flesh. The desires are there. They're at bay. Feed the Spirit and don't feed the flesh. The third step that I see to become a godly man is not to compromise. Not to compromise, but to protect. The third step to be a godly man is not to compromise, but to protect. We see that in verses 8 and 9. 8 and 9. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah in Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of your fathers have fallen by the sword, our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity. Men are called to protect. And because these men were not protecting, the wives and the children were brought into captivity. God made men to be protectors. It's in our DNA, if you will. It's in our DNA. And the way we protect is spiritually. Notice, they fell by the way of the sword. In verse 9, did you know in the New Testament what the sword is likened to? In Ephesians chapter 6, the Word of God. God has called us to protect other people with the Word. And who are we called to protect other people? Our daughters and our sons and our wives. If you have any family or relatives, or if you don't have immediate family, you are to cover them with the sword. So if the enemy will come in, you have that sword and you're like, ah, don't think about it, enemy. For me in my house, I'm going to fear God. You want to take out my son? You want to take out my wife? It's on. The sword of the Spirit is on. You're not going to do that because God has called men to be protectors. And if we don't be protectors, verse 9 happens. The women and the children, they get wiped up by the enemy and the ways of the world. Is there a Hezekiah out there this morning that will protect the women and the children of this world? God is looking for a Hezekiah. Is there a Hezekiah out there? The third way to be a godly man is to not compromise, but to protect. The fourth way to become a godly man, we see this in verses 10 and 11. Now it is in my heart, Hezekiah, to make a covenant with the Lord God in Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us, that my sons do not be negligent. Now for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that you should minister to Him and burn offerings. Guys, before we can stand before anyone else, we need to stand first before the Lord and say, holy, holy, holy is me, Lord. God Almighty, do a work in me and do a work through me. I've learned something. I can't give what I don't have. And so before I go represent the Lord and be His ambassador and stand before my wife and my family and my kids and the community, first I need to stand before Him. I need to stand before Him and put on the armor. It's a war out there. Stand before Him first and foremost, and then you can stand before others and you can represent the Lord and stand for the Lord. So we're called to stand before Him, to minister to Him first and foremost, and then minister for Him. Minister to Him, and then minister for Him. That's the way it works. A lot of times people want to go up and, I'm going to do this for God. Yeah. Wait a minute. Fill your heart with Him, and then go out and share your heart with others. It's like a cup. You know, we see cups on the table. You know, if you bump that cup, what's going to spill out? Self or the Savior? May when they bump our lives, when our wives and children and families and the community bump our lives, may the Savior, the fragrance of Christ, right? What Paul said, come out of us. Christians, we're called to put on the armor of God and take a stand for the families and for the church and for the communities. If we don't, who will? And that's the fourth step to be a man of God. To stand up first before the Lord, to the Lord and for the Lord. Stand up in front of the Lord, worship Him, and then represent Him. Worship the Lord, and then represent Him. It has been too long that we have not taken up our God-given responsibility, knowing that the temples are being destroyed right before our own eyes. That happened with Hezekiah. He saw before his own eyes. He's seen the temple being destroyed. And God looked to and fro and saw a man that was after his own heart and raised up Hezekiah, and he stood up. And we see temples are being destroyed. Temples are being destroyed in other men's lives. Temples are being destroyed in other men's lives because they are called to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And they're destroying their bodies. They're destroying their lives. Hezekiah stood up and he went to the temple and he cleared it away. May we go to the people, the temples, if you will, people's lives, and speak to them and encourage them. Too many people are being destroyed. Too many temples are being destroyed by alcohol abuse, sexual activity, pornography, anger, and pride. And these are sins, and their consequences are destroying the families. They're called to protect the families, but because of these pet sins, they're destroying the families and destroying the communities and destroying the churches. Is there a Hezekiah that will go out there and mentor men, disciple men, show them the way, the truth, and the life that scripture was quoted to us earlier? And go to them and say, hey, you know what? I don't want to come off thinking I'm a know-it-all, but you know, once upon a time, I used to drink that, and I used to smoke that, and I used to do that, and I used to do that. But I want to let you know, God has set me free, and He can set you free too. Once upon a time, I used to drink that wine, but I have to tell you, I drink of the new wine now. And the new wine, it has sobered me up. It has changed my life. And if God can change me, God can change you too. You're destroying your temple, and you're leaving your wives and your children vulnerable. God has called you to take up the sword and to protect them, to march around your house so the enemy doesn't come in. But by your activity, you're opening the front door for the enemy to come in. Be protectors. Be protectors. And that's what Hezekiah was. And we're called as men to see other men and seeing how their temple is being destroyed. And we're to go to their temples and to encourage them, because the Lord has set us free. Now let's go out and share the commission with other people. Did you know that the Great Commission is not the Great Suggestion? When you see Jesus, what if He would tell you, what did you do with the Great Commission? It's not a joke. It's not a, like, no, no, I didn't. I took that verse out of the Bible. No, God has called us. And especially if you have been trained, is there any man that has been touched by God and changed? And once upon a time, you used to live a horrible life, but you've been set free? And I love how you shared the testimony and how the testimony centers on Jesus. He's the one that transforms life. He's the one that does the work. And if you lift up Jesus, He will draw all people to Himself, right? And so let's lift up Jesus. Men are hurting, and other men need to come alongside them and say, we're going to go and do this together, and we're going to cross the finish line together. Is there a Hezekiah out there that will go out and see the temples of men's lives and come alongside them and say, we're going to finish this line together, and let me disciple you and mentor you and show you the ways of the Lord? God has called us to mentor people. The Great Commission says, go out and make disciples. And that's what we're called to do. And I know what this ministry is. To go and make disciples and cause people to finish the race that the Lord has put before them. At this moment, I'm going to share with you a quick video that speaks about this. How we're supposed to come alongside people and help them finish the race.
Thank you.
I know God has raised you up. So when there's people and their temples have been destroyed, that God has called you to come as you see their pain, because you know their pain. And you wrap your arms around them and say, brother, we're going to cross this line together. God wants to use you as Hezekiah. Know that. God wants to use your life. Catch a vision. It is our role and our honor to come alongside men that are hurting and minister to them so they can become mighty men. Mighty men like Enoch. How Enoch walked with God and had daily fellowship with Him. Become mighty men like Noah, who was obedient in the face of ridicule against human wisdom. He was still building an ark for God because God told him to do. Become mighty men like Joseph. He maintained his integrity and his character when he was sold into slavery and he was tempted and he was slandered. To become mighty men like Abraham. He lived a life with faith and knowing that God had a destination from him. To become mighty men like Moses, that displayed godly leadership in the desert for 40 years. To become mighty men like Joshua. He was a courageous warrior who followed the Lord during difficult times. To become a mighty man like Daniel. He refused to compromise. To become a mighty man like John the Baptist. He prepared the way for people to accept Christ. To become a mighty man like Stephen. He boldly proclaimed the gospel. To be a mighty man like Peter and John. Take the good news of the risen Christ to the public square. Be a mighty man like Paul and travel to the unknown to build up the body of Christ. And to be like Jesus, who went to the cross. And he could have taken the easy way out, but he died for us so we could live. John 14:12 says, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than I, because I am going to the Father. God has a great work for you. Say it. To become a mighty man of God. To be like the men of the Bible. The baton has been passed to you today. What are you going to do with it? Be a mighty man of God. Be a place of refuge. Be a place of protecting the temple, your temple, and other people's temple. And if you see people are dishonoring their temple, that you come alongside them and you cause them just to be fruitful for the Lord. You give them the Word of God because the Word of God has been given over to us. Today, God is asking us to stand for Him, to become mighty men, a mighty man that would first remove any activity out of our life that's displeasing the Lord. To be a man of God, secondly, to confess any sin that we have. And we're going to have a time to confess that sin. Because we want to leave here cleansed. We want to be here. We can't help other people if we're struggling ourselves. We need God to do work in us and then through us. Thirdly, we are not to compromise, but God will cause us to be protectors and protect other people. And lastly, we're called to stand and further His kingdom. We're called to stand. And you know, it's an honor. Jesus stood for us. And He went to that cross and is saying, will you do likewise? Will you stand for me? Will you be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? And will you have integrity in a world that lacks integrity? Will you have character in a world that lacks character? Will you stand up for righteousness and be named as a man of God? As a man of God. So let's put on the armor of God. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The gospel of peace. The shield of faith. Let's put on the helmet of salvation. Let's get our swords out. The sword of the Spirit. Through the power of God. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. And with Christ. Let's be leaders. And let's join the battle. And the battle belongs to the Lord. And the victory is already ours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for who we are. We belong to you, Lord. I thank you for the men today, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you have called them, Lord, to follow you. And I just pray, Lord, if there's any man today that they want to be a man of God, but they have some ungodly activity occurring within their life. I pray, Lord, as we're going to have a time of prayer, that they will raise their hand, that they will have a time of confession, that they will specifically share that sin to you, Lord, and you know exactly what's going on. You see all things, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Father, that you would just cleanse them so times of refreshing will come to their lives. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't be compromising. Lord, I pray if any man needs prayer because he's been compromising at home, at work, or somewhere else, I pray, Father, that you raise them up, that they want prayer to be men that will protect their wives and their family and their community. And I pray, Lord, that you cause us to be men that will further your kingdom. So right now, as your eyes are closed and your head is bowed respectfully unto the Lord, if the Holy Spirit has ministered to you and he has brought things to your attention, he's done it for a reason. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to them. So if you need prayer right now, no one's looking around. If you want to do business with God right now, you want your temple cleansed, you want to be a protector for God and for others, you want to be used by the Lord, I want you to raise your hand right now and say, God, touch me, use me, do a work in me first and foremost, and then God, do a work through me. Anyone else need prayer? No one's looking around because this is between you and Jesus, the lover of your soul. And Father, right now you're seeing the men across this room. They're raising their hand to you. Not to me, but to you, Lord Jesus. Because you are the one that can change them. You are the one that can transform them. You are the one that can do a work in them and through them, Lord. They want to be a mighty man of God. They want to sit at your feet and they want to be a changed man. A man after your heart, Lord. So God, do a work, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray that you'll do a beautiful work in their heart. You can put your hands down. And Lord, I just want to praise you and just want to thank you for what you did today, Lord. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we all said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Dan asked me that if I would share in respect to communion, and we're going to have communion together right now. So, Min, if you would prepare the communion for us, and it'll be passed around. Once you receive the communion elements, if you could just please hold on to it, and together we'll partake as brothers in the Lord. And I'll read a portion of Scripture, and as I read a portion of Scripture, and then we will share when we're going to be having communion. But we'll have a worship song right now. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 11:23 reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took up the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" So if you would take out this wafer that represents the body of Jesus, his body was broken. And notice when it says that his body was broken for us. There's no way that a man can go to heaven but only through Jesus Christ. For he's the way, he's the truth, and he's life. And he's the way to the Father. And because of Jesus, his body was broken for us. So when you take this, just remember the cross and how he was beat and he's broken for us. So let's take this right now. Secondly, we have this juice that represents the blood of Jesus. I like that old hymn says that, "What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And so as we take this, know that your sins have been forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. When those soldiers put that crown on the head and say, "Hey, you're a king, right? The king needs a crown." So they put that crown, they put it on the head, they twisted it. And when they did that, streams of blood poured off the holy eyes of Jesus, his ears, his nose, his mouth to the ground for you and for me. He did it to be in his Father's will, because forgiveness of sin is by the blood of Jesus. So as you take this, know that your sins have been forgiven, and praise Jesus for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. It's been a great honor. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for having me come out. I've been looking forward to this day. It's been a blessing. I have a heart to see men just be men of God. And as Dan wrote, the Lord laid it upon my heart to publish a book a few years ago. And I really don't talk about it much. Even at some men from my fellowship are here, they could attest to this. I don't mention it much at all because God's the one that did it. But I'm with men today. And if you want to continue to be men of God, I wrote a book on being principles to be a man of God. If you want to be a leader, I wrote a book about being a leader. Principles to the... I'm a guy, I like principles. I'm like, okay, what are principles? What are steps? And so the Lord laid it on my heart because I was looking through bookstores. I'm like, I don't really see nuggets. And for me, I make nuggets. Just what does the word say, and what am I supposed to do? And that's how I roll. And so I just want to read like one chapter to give you a sample. And this is these are called how men are called to be humility, how character. One's on prayer. I mean, there's so many. There's like 20 some principles here. I'll read one on prayer, chapter 9, prayer. Hebrews 4:16. It always starts off with the word of God. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." As a father, I love when my children spend time and talk with me. How much more does our Heavenly Father love when we come to Him? May we approach the Lord and ask Him to direct our footsteps and align our hearts with His heart. May we ask Him that His will would be our will. He truly knows what's best for our lives and for our ministry. It is vital to come to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for strength, for wisdom, and ability to minister to others. It's foolish to attempt to serve people without spending time with the Lord. He is faithful to work through us if we ask of Him. So these are basic principles for men. So they're only $5. And if you don't have money or if you have a cup, just don't worry about it. My heart is just to spread the word of God out. And so just see me and my son Joshua will be over at the table. God bless you. I love you. You'll be in my prayers. Take care.
Guys, I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of that.